Oil is cheaper than it's been in 2 years. That's good news for the economy, but some oil geologists are not celebrating. They say world oil production is about to peak and will then decline. It's a controversial prediction. Others say there's plenty of oil left. In either case, Middle Eastern suppliers could stand to regain the influence they had in the 1970s. NPR's Christopher Joyce reports.
Here is something you rarely hear from a president of the United States.
The state of the union is not good.
President Gerald Ford took office in 1974 at a time when Americans had to wait in line to buy gas. Arab nations controlled the world's oil supplies. Before his term was out, Ford made a solemn vow.
We must end vulnerability to economic disruption by foreign suppliers by 1985.
When Jimmy Carter took over from Ford, he called the energy crisis the moral equivalent of war. He told Americans to be more like him, turn down the thermostat, and wear a sweater. But energy independence kept slipping away. At the end of the 1970s, Islamic militants overthrew the Shah of Iran, and oil prices went up again. There were still gas lines, and motorists were running out of patience, as illustrated by this exchange between a station owner and a California driver.
I don't have gas right now. After
why 6 o'clock. Did you tell me yesterday morning there was going to gas?
You know, my gas finished last night, everything.
That's a bunch of
fools. After 6 o'clock, I'm sorry, I don't have gas right now.
You should have said that yesterday on the phone. I called about 10 o'clock.
You don't call me. Nobody called me.
Oil supply did increase eventually, thanks in part to drilling in Alaska and the North Sea. But industrialized nations were spooked. Predicting oil supplies became a dark art. Mostly, people got it wrong. One who got it right was M. King Hubbert, an oil geologist who worked for Shell. Long before the shortages, Hubbert predicted that by the end of the 1960s, the lower 48 states would reach a peak in oil production. After that, domestic production would decline.
At that time, the conventional wisdom of the petroleum ministry and of the government was that this peak date would probably not occur before the end of this century. All right. When did it happen? It happened in 1970.
How did he know? Well, geology offers some explanation. Oil doesn't sit in caverns like water in a tub. It's trapped inside rock, like water in a sponge. When you stick a straw down into it, the equivalent of an oil well, the oil nearest the pipe flows easily. But over time, as you're pulling oil up from farther away in the sponge, it comes more slowly. When Hubbert graphed the life of an oil reservoir, the curve was shaped like a bell. The very top of the bell, called Hubbert's Peak, is the point where half the oil in the reservoir has been sucked out. After that, production declines and the price per barrel rises. Hubbert has disciples who have applied his calculations to world oil supplies. One is Kenneth DeFaze, a petroleum geologist at Princeton University, whose recent book is called Hubbert's Peak. He says the world peak will come in 2004.
Individual fields take 10 and 20 and 30 years, sometimes 50 years, to produce, so that fields that are newly discovered now will still be producing. But the real cause for the Hubbert peak for world oil is since 1958, we just haven't had the kind of large discoveries that we had before.
DeFaye says a world recession could reduce demand for oil and delay the peak, but the Hubbert view is that almost half the oil is gone. Colin Campbell, a retired oil geologist living in Ireland, notes that Alaska's Prudhoe Bay and the North Sea are past their peak. He says there is some new oil coming online, in the Caspian Sea and the Gulf of Mexico, for example, but it's not enough to avoid an oil peak in the next few years.
Most of the world's oil outside the Middle East is coming from mature basins such as Texas, and there's nothing anybody can do to arrest the decline of these old places. And you're finding ever more smaller fields. They don't last as long. They get more costly to produce. And then that's the name of the game, I'm afraid.
That's not the name of the game for some oil economists, however. Michael Lynch follows oil for the economic consultants DRI WEFA in Boston. He says Hubbert-style geologists ignore the power of the marketplace.
The sense that there'll be a sudden shock and all of a sudden the global economy will not have enough oil and that this will be a permanent condition. Economists don't see that. They see people switching to other fuels. They see people making more of an effort to drill the existing oil, the slightly more expensive oil that's out there. So in that sense, you do find really a very different view of how things might change.
Lynch says new technology will make even marginal oil fields worthwhile, especially if prices rise. The Hubbard camp says technology is already about as good as it's going to get. Lynch counters that doomsayers keep rewriting oil's obituary every time it outlasts a deadline. There are geologists who also question the Hubbard analysis. The U.S. Geological Survey says there's 20% more oil out there yet to be discovered than they thought 6 years ago. If they're right, that could delay a world peak by decades. What the Geological Service does not say, however, is when and how fast that new oil can be found and pumped out of the ground. Moreover, most of that new oil will come from the same old place, the Middle East. And that leads us to a point where the Hubbards and their skeptics converge. Peak or no peak, Middle Eastern suppliers could regain the power they had in the 1970s. That's because the biggest remaining reservoirs belong to the Arab states. For geologist Colin Campbell, the world oil peak would quickly give those countries an even bigger piece of the pie than they now have.
This time, we face resource constraints head-on. Last time, there were a lot of new major provinces such as Alaska and the North Sea and other places already discovered waiting to come on. This time, there isn't. So it's an entirely different situation without Saudi oil or without Middle East oil.
And while economist Michael Lynch argues that a geological oil peak is many years away, a terrorist attack or coup in the right place could have a similar effect, reduce supply and raise prices.
It's scary. You have a number of countries, including Venezuela, Nigeria, Algeria, Libya, Iran, Iraq, and Saudi Arabia, which are frankly not terribly stable politically.
The OPEC producers now supply about 40% of the world's crude oil, and Saudi Arabia is the biggest by far.
The fact of the matter is we don't really have enough surplus capacity in the world or enough strategic reserves to replace Saudi supply for an extended period of time, beyond a few months.
But oil exporters are acting more like cats than cattle. Russia, now the number two exporter, recently made a token production cut to help OPEC push up prices. When OPEC asked for a bigger cut, Russian companies said, "Nyet, we're capitalists now," and kept pumping. Christopher Joyce, NPR News, Washington.